Today on the Girl Defined Show, we are talking about a movie that just released that many of you have probably heard about, maybe some of you have seen, and it is the movie Redeeming Love, based on the highly popular Christian book Redeeming Love, which both of us read in high school. And today we're going to talk about just a candid, honest conversation. Are we glad we read that book? Do we regret that we read that book? Would we recommend you to read that book? Would we recommend it to our sisters? Will we watch the movie? We're going to talk about all of that right now. Stick with us. Hey, sisterhood, I am so glad you are joining us for this conversation. You know, any conversations that we have about sex, intimacy, purity, God's design for sexuality, anytime we talk about that, it is like those are some of our most popular episodes, most popular videos, most popular posts, because we are sexual beings and our sexuality, our intimacy has been so distorted by sin that many of us are wondering what's true, what's not, where should I go, where's freedom found, you know, shame. And just there's so many things that come in and we just feel confused. A few years ago, actually, Kristen and I, because of this, because of the like insane amount of emails we would get that just said, help, I've never told anyone about this. And then, you know, young women and women would go on to share about a secret sexual struggle, something in their past, questions that they had that they just felt, this is so intimate, this is so personal, I can't be public about this. I just want one person to know. I want two people to know. And as a result of those, you know, dozens and dozens, hundreds of emails coming in, messages coming in, Kristen and I decided to devote an entire book to the topic of intimacy, to the topic of sex, to the topic of purity. That book is Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart, Discovering the Beauty and Freedom of God-Defined Sexuality. And I encourage you, as we're having this conversation, please dig in deeper. If you have not read Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart, this will be transforming the freedom, no matter your past, no matter your background. If you're like, I grew up completely, you know, doing all sorts of things that I look back, really regret, this book is for you. If you're like, I grew up in the most conservative home, we never talked about sex, this book is for you. So grab a copy of Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart at girldefined.com. Now, Kristen mentioned that both her and I read Redeeming Love when we were in high school. I think it was like the book.
It was the book.
Everyone,
it was like the Christian girls, the number one romance novel in the world. Like, yeah, for Christian.
Well, and it was Christian, so right. It felt like, oh, this is okay. I remember, I think you read it first because a friend read it, then maybe you gave it to me. And I remember I literally read it so fast because it was gripping. It was engaging. It was so interesting. And it just like touched this part of our womanly souls where we were like, oh, this is amazing. And now,
like, I think we should give a small recap.
Okay,
like,
for
people who don't know. So if you're like, I've never read it and I don't even know what this movie is or what y'all are talking about. So Redeeming Love to date has sold over 3 million copies.
Wow.
That's a ton of books. And we know now that's a crazy big amount now that we're in the book industry ourselves.
That's true. And so basically the book, just in a nutshell, is about a young girl who ends up being forced to work in the sex slave industry.
It's based off of a biblical story.
Okay. So rewind there. So the book is based off of the biblical story of Hosea, right? Who God tells to marry a prostitute, basically to make an example of the way that Israel is prostituting its heart before the Lord, constantly going after other gods. And it's kind of a parallel, or what would you say?
I don't know what they're called, like a retelling in a modern way.
Yeah.
To try to bring Hosea to life in that story, to bring a biblical example that would resonate with us as modern
women. Of the redeeming love that Hosea had for his wife who was a prostitute, and which is pointing to the redeeming love that God has for his people, God's faithfulness, how God is our redeemer, how God turns our ashes into beauty through the work of Christ, right? And so that's awesome. Like, wow, that is an amazing, that is a very biblical story. But this book takes a twist where it has a young girl named Angel. That's her new name, I guess her prostitute name. She gets basically forced to work in the sex industry. I can't remember all the details exactly, as a young girl, and so she didn't want to. She was forced, and then ends up growing up in that, becoming very popular, very sought after, her work, and so men would come from all over. Long story short, a man named Michael, right, in the book, who's supposed to be the representation of Hosea in the Bible, he ends up feeling God telling him to go and pursue her as his wife.
Yeah.
And so he ends up trying to do that, break into that scene,
Angel amongst other prostitutes. And long story short, he is faithful to her. They do get married, but she's not faithful to him. She's leaving and he's pursuing her. She comes back. She leaves again. He pursues her again as a picture of how Christ pursues his people, Christ's faithfulness in the face of our unfaithfulness. And so the story ends with them getting married, rejoining, and in marriage and experiencing beautiful intimacy of marriage within a covenant relationship. And so that's a nutshell of the story. And you might be thinking, well, that sounds beautiful and awesome. And we want to say there is so much about that that is beautiful and awesome. And there is so much that resonates in our hearts because we feel our own wandering hearts. We long as women for a savior, right? For someone to come in. We might hear about that character, Michael, in this book, in this movie and think, wow, like if you're single, you're thinking, I want a man like him, a man who's so faithful, who pursues me no matter what, no matter my past, no matter my failures, no matter my regrets. He is faithful and he is pure and he is coming for me, right? I mean, that is the longing. And I think what that speaks to, which is what the biblical story and what this book is getting at, is a deeper longing that we have as women for someone to redeem us, for someone, a man to come in and to be our savior, to be the one who faithfully pursues us, who protects us, who gives us a new name, a new identity. And we know as believers, that's ultimately what the gospel is. That's ultimately what Christ has done for us. So I think this book resonates twofold on a spiritual level, that longing we feel in our hearts. And then also, we'll just be very candid. It is infused with sexual, I don't even know if I would say undertones, but overtones.
Like erotic. It's very erotic.
It's very erotic in its writing and in its descriptions. Very descriptive and very arousing, I would say, quite honestly. And I think that is something we need to talk about as well as we have this conversation.
Yeah. So I think the thing that, you know, there were a lot of conversations happening about this movie before it came out, because they're pretty much everyone in our generation, I feel like, has read the book. And so they're, you know, we'll just say super honestly, looking back, we would not go back and reread that book. And it's not a book we'd recommend to our younger sisters. It's not a book we would recommend to you. So when the movie came out, though, people were wondering, like, well, this is going to be a movie even more, like, you know, visual on the screen. And so I think people just assumed it wasn't going to be as explicit. So there was a lot of hype around it, a lot of people talking about it. There, you know, were even people who had conversations that I greatly respect, who were sharing a perspective on the beauty of, you know, just like the, I guess, redemption that I thought was really amazing. But the movie just dropped and there has been kind of like a shockwave through the Christian community of people, a lot of people saying that, you know, like this was way more sensual, way more explicit, way more like
erotic
and than I ever expected. And so now it's like, wow, we just hyped up this movie. And now people are like, wait a minute, should we actually be watching this? What should we be doing? So we're going to, you know, kind of walk through a biblical approach to sex and intimacy and just the dangers of erotica. And I will say, like Kristen said, we know that there can be beauty and hope and even biblical truths wrapped up into, you know, books and movies like this. But does that mean it's something we should consume? Does that mean it's actually the overall, the pros versus the cons outweigh, and it's something that is the best and most helpful for us? Is it, whether you're single, married, is it going to really fuel in us a greater love for our Savior, a greater understanding of Scripture? And is it going to ignite in us, you know, greater love for Christ, or is it going to pull out in us these desires to find fulfillment and satisfaction in this perfect, super amazing masculine man, you know? So when you think about erotica, here's a few things just to consider. The category of erotica is the fastest and most popular selling genre for women. And we get that. I mean, of course it is. Like, we want that. Mm-hmm. We want that. Like, he's stunningly handsome. You know, she's drop dead gorgeous. He's rich. She's sexy. He desperately needs a woman in his life. She's longing for male attention. They meet. They fall in love. It's not long before their steamy romantic turns into intensely sexual scenes. You know, their fantasy seems too good to be true. And even though redeeming love has, you know, it's based off of a biblical story in so many ways, like what I just read, it fulfills all of that. You know, it's very erotic. And from what we have read about the movie, we have chosen not to see it and do not plan to see it. It fills every category of an erotic content. And many say it's way pushing the PG-13 boundary. We've read that there are very lengthy, you know, sex scenes. There's nudity. There's just a lot going on. Very, very descriptive. And so I just want to read to you really quick. So erotica, why it's so popular, why it pulls us in as women, is because it does a few things to us. It helps us, one, to escape reality. It helps us to feel like we are being cherished by a man in our mind, a fantasy man, this perfect man, you know, this Michael, this whoever it is. It helps us to feel like we are being protected by a strong man. It helps us to feel like maybe on the opposite side, we're helping to rescue the man as well. It also helps us to feel like we are sexually alive. And I would say that, you know, so much of what I remember in Redeeming Love and what I've read about this movie, it does exactly that. And my biggest question with all of this, and I know I'm kind of like getting ahead of myself, but I'm just like sharing openly and honestly, my biggest question is, at the end of a movie like this, do we truly feel more drawn to Christ, or have we awakened desires within us and said, you know, as a single woman, wow, I just want a Michael to love me and touch me and, you know, embrace me in that way? Or as a married woman feeling like, wow, my husband is not Christ. He is not perfect, because he never will be. And feelings of disappointment. He doesn't love me like that. He doesn't touch me like that. He's not tender with me like that. He is not that. Do we feel feelings of disappointment? If you have a current ongoing sexual struggle, or you found freedom when you're watching a movie or reading a book like that, does that bring to mind thoughts of, you know, honoring Christ and freedom from these sexual struggles? Or does it reignite those desires? If you struggled with masturbation, if you've struggled with an addiction to porn, if you struggle already with reading erotica, does this help you in your pursuit of freedom from that? Or does that draw you back in and awaken those desires within? So there's a lot of questions and things to think through as we discuss this topic. And I personally am putting this in the category of erotica. Mm. Because when I remember reading that book, I remember like, why did I like it so much? I mean, there are a lot of great things about, you know, biblical stories, but why were we so drawn to this book?
Yeah.
Because it was graphic, it was descriptive, and it had the Christian check mark, so we were good, you know?
Can I jump in? I want to read the definition of erotica, because I know that could be a point of debate right now. As you're listening and you're thinking, well, this, no way, this isn't erotica. I mean, have you seen 50 Shades of Grey? Heard of that movie? Like, no, for one, we haven't seen it, and definitely do not recommend that movie. So you might be comparing it to some other things that have hit the big screen, and you're thinking, psh, this is child's play. Like, this is nothing. Let me just read the secular dictionary definition for what erotica is. Erotica is usually, it says, written works, usually fiction, dealing with sexual love. And then the second description it gives in the dictionary for erotica is sexually explicit art, photographs, sculptures, or the like depicting human sexuality. And so from a basic description, erotica doesn't mean that it's like the most sexual explicit thing out there. Does it fall into this category? And I would say this movie and this book do, if you read the actual definition of erotica. And so I think we can just lay that to rest. Like, yes, this does fall into that category. And when Bethany was talking about, like, are we at the end of reading that book, or if you've seen the movie, or you're thinking like, oh, this weekend with my girlfriends, we're going to go girls' night out. Like, what is your motivation, first of all, in going truly, or reading that book? What truly is your motivation? And then at the end of it, do you genuinely believe, like, this is drawing me closer into a pure love with my Savior. I'm drawing me into that relationship with Him that only He can satisfy, this deepest longing in my heart, or is it stirring up something else in you? And I will share very honestly from my own life. When I was in high school, read the book, I share in our book, Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart, a whole chapter on masturbation. And I share very openly and candidly that I was struggling with that. And I am telling you that reading that book did not help me pursue a heart of purity before the Lord. And I remember specifically thinking, well, this is Christian. Like, this is a biblical story just brought to life in a different way. This is going to help me. Like, this is about my relationship with God. And I remember saying that. And if I'm being very honest, that's not what it did for me. And I know everyone has their own story, their own testimony. So I can't speak to you, but I can speak from my own heart personally and say it didn't help me pursue the Lord from a pure heart. It did stir up desires, sensual desires in me as I read the book and descriptions of very erotic scenes between Michael and Angel. And I remember feeling so many more temptations and it fueling my struggle with masturbation, because obviously that's how God designed our bodies. When you're aroused, you desire release. Like, there's a natural
beautiful process that got designed to be a passionate, beautiful act between a husband and wife in marriage, but that was not helping my heart as a single woman. And so I am just telling you, looking back, I can see so clearly that that was not helping me pursue a heart of purity, which is one of the reasons why I would not recommend it to single women. And now you may be thinking, well, I'm married, so I've got my husband, we can enjoy that. But on the flip side, even now as a married woman, the enemy is constantly after trying to lure us outside of our marriage to find satisfaction sexually in other places, right? Because the gold standard, God's beautiful design, is sex within marriage, a celebration of covenant love. And the enemy hates that. He hates what it points to. He hates that it reflects the intimacy Christ desires to have with his people. He hates all of that. And so he is constantly trying to destroy that. And our own flesh wanders, right? We are prone to wander. Our flesh is near. It is at hand. It is tempting. And there are always things that are luring us outside of our marriage to find satisfaction.
I just want to jump in here too, because you may be thinking like, well, no way. Like, I am not going to go. Like, I'm not going to commit adultery. I'm not.
Right.
So I don't want to, you know, we're all in different spectrums with what we feel like. We're all capable of everything. But you may be feeling like, I'm not going to do that. But just dissatisfaction
right.
with your husband. Because now you're like, wow, he is no Michael. He doesn't. Uh-huh. He's not tender like that. He's so practical. He's not feeling. He's not emotional.
Yes, he's not romantic.
So, yeah. Just even the dissatisfaction now in your own marriage mm-hmm. could set in because of what you see. So that's
and it could be like a small seed that the enemy uses.
Yeah.
So you might be thinking, wow, you girls are extreme. You're thinking like, I'm gonna go jump off the deep end because I watched one movie or read one book. No, we're asking not like, it's not the idea of how close can I get to the line without crossing it, right? We've all heard that like illustration. It's the idea of, is this helping my heart to be fully satisfied first and foremost in my relationship with Christ? And second, if you're married, is this helping me fuel intimacy within my own marriage and satisfaction with the husband that God has provided for me? Is it really helping you in that if you're very, very honest? And I can say as a married woman, I don't want to see the movie because I feel it would be too much of a temptation to compare, to desire things in my husband maybe that aren't there, or it would maybe even in my own mind, the fantasies in my own mind maybe tempting me to think about things, to think about mm-hmm. other men in ways that I know are not going to fuel true intimacy within my own marriage with my husband, Zach. And so yeah. as a married woman, I'm making the decision not to see it for a lot of reasons, but that's definitely one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, the beautiful thing about marriage is we don't have to be every other person's marriage. I'm unique. My husband, Dave, is unique. Kristen's unique. Zach's unique. Every other person who's married is a unique couple. And so even, you know, just talking straightforward, like even sexually, what, you know, how often they have, you know, experienced intimacy together. Each couple, it's going to look a little bit different. Each personality is going to play into those beautiful experiences. So watching other people have this moment together, I think is unhelpful because it's no one else is going to be that couple. So now we have this temptation to compare and say, well, I'm not that couple. And it's like, we don't need to be that couple. All we need to be is our own couple and really strive to honor God and serve each other and love each other as our own couple. I do want to read to you because Kristen and I, we've talked a lot about being careful with what we watch, what we listen to, and we are not, you know, perfect in this area. We are constantly striving to grow and change, and our convictions and standards have changed throughout the years as we've grown and matured and, you know, all of that. But there is a specific site that we love to go back to. It's PluggedIn.com, and it's through Focus on the Family, and it's just a great movie media. They review all sorts of stuff, and if you're considering going to see a movie or, you know, I don't know, even playing a video game, they review so much stuff.
We can link this yeah. specific,
yeah. So below. They did a movie review of Redeeming Love, and I often, like, when I read their reviews, I feel like they're pretty straightforward about the reviews, and they don't often give, like, disclaimers or opinions. They're pretty neutral and just sharing the facts and saying, like, okay, so here's the positive, here's the negative. But
Make
your own choice, yeah. But I was surprised with what they had to say about Redeeming Love because they very much gave a pretty strong opinion, which I thought was unique for them, and I thought it was really, really great. So we'll link it below. I really encourage you to go read it. But here's what they said at the very, very end of it. They said, Redeeming Love isn't the first Christian movie to try to depict a biblical story using a gritty, realistic approach regarding the sinfulness of man. Many of us have sat through the gut-wrenching scenes of Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. Likewise, the 2018 movie Unplanned, which deals with the subject of abortion, forces viewers to face the grim reality of that subject. However, we would be remiss if we didn't reiterate just how much sensual content this movie contains, talking about redeemed
redeeming love. We don't want to knock redeeming love for its realistic approach, but we question how necessary it was to show the audience two long and intimate sex scenes, as well as several other scenes that include partial or near nudity. The average viewer certainly could have figured out what was going on without the need for such detailed sexual depictions. Redeeming love captures the beautiful story of what unconditional love truly looks like, especially when our sins may be too difficult for us to bear. Unfortunately, this portrait of unconditional love also strays repeatedly into such provocative images that it might cause some who wrestle with pornography or sexual sin to stumble themselves. And I think that is their big takeaway from Redeeming Love, that this movie unnecessarily portrayed very realistic, very provocative, very erotic scenes, leaving, you know, no room for the imagination. They just put it all on the screen. And so I think that that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Is this healthy for us? Is this helping draw our hearts towards Christ? Is this helping us pursue purity, whether we're married, single, it doesn't matter what stage of life we're in. Is this truly something that is going to draw us closer to Christ? Or is this going to help us stray into territory that is not, you know, God honoring and not drawing our hearts in that direction?
Yeah. And something that I think is really important to bring up as Christians when talking about sex and sexuality and intimacy and these passionate desires is that as Christians, I think we can often fall into two ditches, right? We're like, one side of the aisle, they're like, don't ever talk about sex. It's bad. It's dirty. Or it's just kind of the unmentionable, right? And even like people who are about to get married, it's like they barely can talk about it. And then there's the other side of the spectrum where I think Christians are like, well, the Bible has a lot to say about it. And there's some pretty, you know, graphic stories in scripture. And so, yeah, like the Bible obviously isn't G-rated. And so I think movies like this are fine because they're depicting something that really happened and, you know, they're all for it. And I think both approaches aren't necessarily maybe grounded in God's heart for sex and intimacy and what he shares in scripture as we take an entire, like a full account from Genesis to Revelation. Why did God make sex? What does he say about it in scripture? What is he pushing us towards, or what is he wanting us to even see past when it comes to our sexual design? Is there something bigger that's happening here? And, you know, here at Girl Define, we are unafraid when it comes to talking about sexuality and sexual desire, sexual intimacy, but we always want to do it in a way that's really respectful and that's reflective of the way that God talks about sex in scripture. And if you notice, even the passage of Hosea, it's not that descriptive. You know, so we've heard people say, well, the Bible talks about it, so it's fine. If we watch it and read about it, things that are much, 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 much more erotic, you'll notice the Bible doesn't necessarily, at least in my opinion, stray into very erotic grounds. Mm-hmm. When it's talking about something, a sexual act that happens between people, it's very basic in its description, allowing us to understand the facts, but not drawing us into temptation by sexual descriptions that would, that are intended to arouse, right? And so I think in scripture, we see that. But something that is so important that I think a lot of us, that I didn't understand as a Christian woman for a very long time, is that sex is something that God created, that he made each one of us sexual beings, and that God says is a beautiful, beautiful thing within the context he designed it for. And it's something that as Christians, we can celebrate, we can rejoice in, something that he wants us to embrace rightly. But it's also something that, and this is the part I think a lot of Christians don't fully grasp, is that it's not just intended to end with, okay, save sex till marriage. And then when you get married, enjoy it in marriage. And that's the Christian way. There's something so much more that God is doing within our sexual design. He's wanting this earthly picture of sex within a covenant marriage, this intimate act between a husband and a wife, to not just end there, but to draw our hearts upward, outward, vertical to him. And to, he gave us sex as an earthly picture, pointing to a greater spiritual reality, a metaphor that is so much grander than earthly sex, something that our hearts need desperately more. You know, we had an episode, I think, called You Can Live Without Sex, But You Can't Live Without Intimacy. And I want to read a little section from our book, Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart. Chapter 7 is called Girl, You Were Made for Intimacy. and we unpack the reality that we see in scripture that, you know, you don't have to get married to experience true intimacy, that God created us as humans to walk in an intimate relationship with himself. That relationship is the truest, deepest intimacy that we could ever need. We can live without sex. You can be single and it can be hard, but you can trust God and surrender and find true satisfaction in your relationship with Christ in a way that no sexual relationship could ever provide. And so we were made to have intimacy with our Savior. God wants to know you. And I just want to read a snippet here from this chapter in Girl Defined. Girl, you were made for intimacy. We say, we as women live in a day and age when shallow relationships abound. Dating relationships, marriages, friendships, and even family relationships often stay on the surface level. Despite that many of us crave to know and be known on a deeper level, we may find it extremely difficult to actually attain that level of intimacy. We want to go deeper, but we're often afraid or unsure of exactly how to make that happen. Sadly, many women, single and married, spend their entire lives feeling the pain of loneliness. Their hearts long for true love and true friendship, but they don't know what to do or how to get these things. The desire to experience true intimacy, though, isn't accidental. It's not something we as women should shove aside or strive to satisfy in temporal ways. The desire to be truly known and truly loved is actually at the very core of who God created us to be. As our loving Father, God longs to know each one of us on a personal level. He wants to have a deep and meaningful relationship with each of us. And God, in fact, in scripture, uses a very specific Hebrew word you may have heard of throughout the Bible to help us understand his intimate love for us. And that word is yada. So that's a Hebrew word. It literally appears in the Old Testament like 940 times. God says it a lot. And he intentionally uses that word over and over to help us understand that as our creator, as our God, he doesn't want a casual or surface relationship with us. That's not why he created us. He wants to yada us and for us to yada him back. He created us to know him and to have a deep, satisfying relationship with him. And so here's just a few scripture passages we see in Psalms. You're familiar with the passage, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me." Well, the Hebrew word for known is the word yada, saying, God, you know me on the deepest, most intimate level, right? Here's another one in Psalms. "And those who know, yada, your name, put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." So when you get the context of yada and you see this in Psalm 9:10, "and those who know you," not just, "I know about you, I have a theological understanding of God, I have this head knowledge, I say I'm a Christian, but I don't really know." This is verse saying those who know you, who yada you deeply, intimately, those people, they know your name and they put their trust in you. "And you, O Lord, do not forsake them." So over and over again, I could go on, but just so you get the point, like God, and we miss this because of our English Bibles, right? We don't see this word yada. We don't understand what it's pointing to in this being known, deeply loved. But that is what we see in scripture. Now, here is the mind-blowing thing. That very same word yada that God uses over and over in the Old Testament to talk about his being known, him knowing us and us knowing him deeply and intimately, that is the same yada word that God uses to intentionally describe sexual intimacy. Now, I know this might feel like, what? Like a little mind-blowing. And honestly, it is, because when we understand this, it really changes everything. The deep knowing that God has for his children is the same type of deep knowing that God intends for married couples to have with each other. Sex is supposed to be an expression of the deep knowing and love that a husband and a wife share. And I love what Greg Smalley says about this. He says, "God's idea of yada in marriage is for you to know your spouse completely and for you to be deeply known by your spouse and for both of you to enjoy each other sexually." And throughout the Old Testament, we also see passages where God is using this known way, this known word, but yada in a sexual way. And in Genesis 4:1, where Adam is talking, where the Bible says Adam knew his wife Eve, the knew right there, right? We know what the knew means. It means he had sex with Eve. That is also yada. Isn't that amazing? Adam knew, yadad, his wife. And again, Cain knew, yadad, his wife. It is very
very mind-blowing to me that God would use the same Yada word to describe his deep, intimate love that he desires to have with his people spiritually. The same word is used to describe the deep and intimate love that God created a husband and a wife to have. And so when we understand that, we understand that sex isn't just about a husband and wife experiencing earthly pleasure, but God designed this Yada physical, intimate sexual act, placed it in the covenant of marriage to mirror the covenant relationship that God has with his people, with the church, with his children. A covenant love, a covenant means a promise so strong it cannot be broken. That same Yada love in marriage is a reflection of the Yada love that God wants to have with his people. And that Yada, the spiritual Yada with our Heavenly Father, is the greatest need of our heart. And that is why we can live without sex, but we can't live without intimacy, because we as women and men were created by our God to be in a deep knowing relationship with him. And that is where true satisfaction is found. And so when we are tempted by earthly pleasures or even books or movies that draw our hearts to maybe want to grasp onto some sexual pleasure or something even in our hearts, or maybe act out sexually, we're thinking, oh, that's pleasure, that's satisfaction, that's what my heart's chasing after. And God is saying, there's so much more. There's so much more. And it can only be found in your relationship with me.
I know a lot of our listeners here at Girl Defined in the Sisterhood are single. And so I want to read to you something that I wrote, Bethany, when I was single. When Kristen and I wrote Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart, which again, I cannot encourage you enough to read. Mm-hmm. Please go to girldefined.com, grab a copy, or anywhere online. But I was single when I wrote this book. And it was a really unique perspective because Kristen was married, I was single. And so we were able to bring a much broader view of God's design for intimacy and sexuality to the table from both of our different experiences and stages of life. So at the end of this chapter that Kristen just read from, I wrote a letter basically to single women from my own experience. And this is for you. If you are single, I want to read this to you because I think that this will be so incredibly encouraging to you. As I type these words, I'm unmarried. I've never had sex and I have no real experience in this area. So what does Yada have to do with unmarried women? How can we benefit from this conversation on intimacy? When I first learned about Yada, it totally blew me away. I love that God uses the same word to describe both his relationship with us and sexual intimacy. That means single women do not have to wait until marriage to experience Yada. We can experience deeply knowing God right now. He created us to be deeply known and to deeply know him. He wants an intimate relationship with us. When we take a step back and look at the bigger picture, we quickly realize that sex is simply the metaphor that points us toward our deeper need for intimacy with Jesus. The most satisfying thing we can pursue is not a mind-blowing sexual experience, but an authentic relationship with our Savior. The next time you feel a sexual urge or wonder if you'll ever experience sexual intimacy, allow those moments to remind you that your truest need is for a relationship with Jesus. Channel the energy you might spend focusing on sexual longings toward knowing Christ deeply and finding ultimate satisfaction in him. And as we close, I know this conversation could go on for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like I said, that's why we wrote an entire book on it, Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart. But I just want to encourage you, that is the deepest need of our heart. To know Jesus in a deep and intimate way. That is the only thing that can truly satisfy long-term. That is the deepest need of our heart. And we don't want to get distracted from that. We don't want other things to come and cloud our view and say, no, you actually need this. You actually need this experience. You actually need a man like this. Actually, no, we don't need any of that. You could live a completely single life. You could never have sex in your life and you could be deeply satisfied in your relationship with Christ, because ultimately one day when we get to heaven, that's what's going to be the most satisfying thing. We're going to be unmarried. We're not going to need that sexual intimacy anymore because we will be face to face with our Savior and he will give us that deep yada, that deep knowing that satisfies us to our very, very core. So if I can encourage you with anything, it would be one, stop and consider, read the review by Plugged In, make a decision based off of wisdom. Don't blindly go into watching this movie, Redeeming Love, but also consider, are you being deeply satisfied by your Savior? Do you know him? Does he know you? Are you spending time in the Word? And if not,
maybe start there before going to see that movie. Maybe just start by digging into your relationship with Christ. Maybe start by taking a step back, reading Sex, Purity, and the Longings of a Girl's Heart, and asking yourself if you really have a biblical view of sexuality. You know, maybe take the time to read this book instead of seeing the movie. I think the benefits long term, in my opinion, would be much more long lasting.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us for this conversation. We really would love to hear your perspective. We know we're sharing our perspective based on what we see in the Word and our experiences. And we know each person has to make their own choice, right, regarding whether or not to see this, whether or not you feel these books are truly pushing you closer to Christ or stirring up lustful passions, right? We each need to examine our own hearts, our own motives, get honest before the Lord, and then pursue a path that is truly faithful to our King, faithful to what God is calling us into. Scripture, making sure that we are guarding our hearts in a biblical sense. And so we encourage you, like Bethany said, take some time to don't rush off. Don't just plan that girls' night before you really sit before the Lord and really prayerfully evaluate whether or not this is a good choice for you. We're going to link some other perspectives that some other Christians have shared on this in the comment or the description section below. So you can definitely check out those. We encourage that as well. But head on over to Instagram at Girl Defined and let's chat below this post. Let's chat and continue this conversation. We really want to hear from you. We want to dialogue about this. If you appreciate this conversation and you want to hear more content like this, where we're talking about things that are relevant in culture that are happening currently, and we don't always address like current issues of the day, but in this one, we felt like it was necessary since we'd been personally impacted and everyone seems to be talking about it. So we wanted to have this conversation. We hope it's been helpful and encouraging to you. If so, please just really quick, take like 3 seconds to leave us a 5-star review wherever you're listening. That really helps this podcast get more exposure to be shown. You know, it's all about the analytics and the numbers in exposure. And as you leave reviews, comments, it does help Apple to see, oh, people like this. And so it'll show it to more people. So please do that if you were encouraged. That would really mean a ton to us. 5-star review. Woohoo! All right, Sisterhood, we love you guys so much. We are in this together. Let's fight the good fight. And we will see you guys next week here on the Girl Defined Show.